Chris Nash is busy at the moment. Hopefully we'll get him a little bit later on the program, but he's got a massive chance of going a little bit better even than he did last year when he won the Palmerston and ran second in the Darwin Cup. And this year he's got a terrific chance in the Palmerston, and he's also got another chance with Dannon Roman in the Darwin Cup. Matty Nevitz slid in just to begin some news. Remember Dannon Roman when he was...
Yes.
I think he started with the Freemans, then he was enigmatic in Adelaide, and it's almost like Darwin's where you end up.
Gives him another opportunity, Matty.
Do you want to end up in Darwin one day?
I'd love to go to a Darwin Cup. I've never actually been before to a Darwin Cup carnival, Matty, but I have heard plenty of good things. I know you've been there before, and I think I got a message from Juppy yesterday. He said, check the
Juppy
weather.
Juppy would be there. He said,
check the weather in Darwin, guys. And I did, and I said to Juppy, I might put a late annual leave form in because it looks pretty nice.
Well, it is sensational. My mate Macca, who we might actually get on the verdict on Monday, I reckon, because his travelogue from Europe when he was over there, and he and I crisscrossed a little bit, was very interesting when he went to racetrack after racetrack. His observations about various things over there. Guess where he is? Of course, he's in bloody Darwin. Mm. So he went to Lichfield Gorge yesterday, and he's going to the Palmerston, and so we might even get Macca on.
So for those people that have been to the Darwin Cup before or go regularly, text in 0416905052. What actually makes that carnival so great? Why is it so much fun?
Well, I'll give you my little highlights. We had an amazing group there. We had a lot of fun. We had it was Alan Iskander's corporate betting company at the time, and Nick Quinn was there.
Quinn man.
Nick Heathcote was there, who was a lot of fun. For some of the staff that work for Alan Iskander, and we just had the best time. If you do the fine dining, sort of, if you do it a bit upmarket, as we happen to do on that occasion, some of the restaurants in Darwin are just gorgeous, you know, like outdoor Thai restaurant under
names?
Palm trees.
Any names?
I can't remember. It was about 10 years ago. The outdoor ball is the most extraordinary indulgence you've ever seen. Jimmy Barnes was supposed to be the star act, but he had to pull out late, and his son stood in. What's his name? David Campbell, is it?
Yeah. Yep.
So we had to overcome the disappointment of going from father to son, but he was okay. The setup, the tables and chairs, there's so many of them, they're in different zones, A, B, C, and D, and they've got the most amazing seafood extravaganza you've ever seen. I think it's about $100-$200 a ticket. And I always wondered, black tie, so you imagine all these people in black tie sitting outdoors under the stars in Darwin. And I thought to myself, they must be so sure about the weather here, because if it ever unseasonally rained, it would be the greatest washout of an event you've ever seen in your life.
The chances.
There's a thing called the Surf Life Saving Club, which is a bit of a misnomer because there's no surf.
I was going to say, how much surfing gets
and
done?
And no one swims because of the crocodiles, stingers and bull sharks. But the most beautiful sunsets in the world, and then you get your fishing trips, and then the day at the races, there's probably too many races. There's about 11 races, but in the infield is where all the marquees are set up, and you just sit there. Because the heat is so draining. I remember having, like, drink, you know, responsibly, but I remember having about 15 beers and being sober. And being completely sober.
It's meant to make you go the other way, isn't it, in the heat?
Yeah, you can go to Lichfield Gorge. You can do all sorts of things. You can go to Kakadu.
Uncle Shark's text in, our good friend Mick Sharkey, who will be in tomorrow on the Friday Form Focus, has said, I've one of the best and worst ever Darwin Cup stories in history. So look forward to hearing that tomorrow on the Form Focus.
Yes. So I think it's the number one. Mikey, are you going to come?
I would love to come to Darwin. I've never been. The heat would probably get to me, but I'll come if you're paying.
Well, you know that won't be happening. No, you need a captain. We need a captain. So we need a captain. So put it out there, 0416905052. Who wants to be our captain for next year's Darwin Cup? I don't think we'll get too many.
We need somewhere to stay as well. Hey, what happened yesterday with Garrett Lynch, Matty?
The legend of Garrett Lynch. I latched onto him ages ago. I kept thinking, who's this softly spoken cowpoke-looking guy who keeps winning these races and doing these modest post-race interviews? And then I did a yarn on him for Winning Post. And his life story was extraordinary. Like, just something that you think, gee, I don't know people who live like that these days, like rodeos, outback, you know, amazing adventures and bucking bulls and all sorts of things. And he sort of translated that general animal husbandry type experience into how he trains his horses. And he had three or four runners at Balaclava yesterday. Mikey, actually, we might have a little listen to what happened.
Hey Michael, the rail now bursting through Lama Reef, fields of Athenry. Good Archie and Chavit. Blanket finish coming up. Still Dasgulia defies them from Hey Michael. It's Dasgulia from Hey Michael. Hey Michael with a late spurt gets through to win. Hey Michael, cut down Dasgulia. La Marie got third. More shots. Sir Maze, Journey in Time. Whiskey and Women's picked up the bit now. And then came wider out Photogenic. He might swamp them all, Photogenic, with Whiskey and Women. He hits the lead. Photo time. Photogenic. It's another one for Lynch.
Well, $13 into $10. And this sort of in part is a response to... Timely response to this text. Please, when is Michael Falgate back? Gone from the best, one of the best programs, finding winners, to learning about Darwin and Thai restaurants. Well, Garrett Lynch yesterday, dear listener, did help us with a $13 and $10 winner. Amazing story. And they won narrowly, but his horses just find the line. Quite incredible.
Everything he's touching turns to gold at the moment. So, unfortunately, I was getting the notes for the Greyhound segment.
I rang you after the second one, and I was thinking, any chance you've had a crack.
I missed,
Mikey Valisaris missed as well. But if it's any comfort to you, I did capitalise to some degree.
Well done.
Now, it's 9 o'clock, so we're going to take a sports update with Hollywood. But we're going to continue the news afterwards. And you and I are going to have a bit of a think about what we thought of Bayeed overnight. I think Bayeed will end up in Darwin. He won the Sussex Stakes overnight. Here's a replay of the best horse or the highest rated horse in the world winning at Glorious Goodwood.
Bet Modern Games under pressure at the cutaway, alcohol free, exploring a run on the far side. Bathrat Leon just gains a little bit of momentum there from the cutaway, leads by two lengths, chased by Modern Games. And here is Bayeed now, asked the big question on the outside. Bayeed cutting them back, Modern Games putting up a fight, but Bayeed, this horse has got gears that other horses do not possess, and it's 9 from 9. Bayeed and a canter. Wins the Qatar Sussex Stakes from Modern Game.
He's such a nice horse.
Well done.
A nice handshake from the runner-up.
Yeah. So I think he was very happy with Karibas until 2 days ago, so it's a shame for him, but it's great.
Would you have liked to have seen Bayeed against a horse like Karibas?
I would, of course, yeah, especially after he had his injury. But I think that's what it's all about. And Charlie's very sporting, as is his boss.
How much are you enjoying personally training the world's best racehorse?
Well, I don't ever look at it like you do. But for me, I just said to Jim in the paddock, we've got him for two more races after this, so let's make the most of him and enjoy him, because he's very likely to go to stud at the end of this year, and that'll be it. And then I'll spend the rest of my training career trying to find the next one.
It is a shame about the rushing off to stud thing, isn't it? That we're watching the clock with Bayeed. It's frustrating seeing a horse at the peak of its power with still so much to give where the rug will be pulled, but I guess that's the nature of the racing and breeding game, isn't it?
It's frustrating because you often miss out on the matchups with the other horses who you just really want to see them race against. Obviously, Karibas would have been an interesting matchup there. Maddie, what was your honest assessment of Bayeed's performance
last night? I'd love to have seen Karibas there.
Yeah.
I've been Bayeed.
So you got a little knock on it.
I've been a big Bayeed man from day one. I just think the Frankel comparisons has taken it into a difficult thing now, because every single race he's run in has almost been exactly the same as Frankel, and he's going to wind up at 2,000 metres the same as Frankel. And he's not as good as Frankel. I think he's being super-duper tradesman-like rather than blow-my-mind type thing. Mm. So...
Put a couple of lengths on them.
They were very average. Yeah. I mean, Alcohol Free won the July Cup, but she's a thereabouts mare. She's not a superstar. She's not a Nable or anything like that. And the runner-up, Karibas would have been... If he'd done that to Karibas, I think I would have thought, you know. Max Presnell always said the measure of a good horse is how much he beats another good horse by. And 9 times out of 10, it's a realistic measure.
Yep.
I'm not down on Bayeed, but I'm not cock-a-hoop about Bayeed either.
Okay.
What did you think of it?
No, I thought he did what he had to do. Sometimes it's just about beating who you can beat. And Karibas wasn't in the race. He still put a couple of lengths on his opposition. So 9 from 9. A great call. I love the energy in the call as well.
I love that race caller. Yeah. I like the Irish guy who called the Irish Champion Stakes last year. I can listen to that call ad nauseum.
Switching our attention to tonight, Matty, and this is where it becomes... interesting from a Melbourne Cup perspective. So the Gordon Stakes, which is going to be run in the early hours of tomorrow morning. The favourite in that race is New London, which is now, I think, the favourite for the Melbourne Cup. And one of the other horses that is prominent in the betting for the Melbourne Cup is Hu Yamar, which is the Gay Waterhouse and Adrian Bott horse. It will be soon when it comes across to Australia. It's the second favourite in the Gordon Stakes tonight. This is what Adrian Bott had to say yesterday when he spoke to racing.com.
Yeah, look, the team seem happy with him over there. Gay's obviously been able to keep a close eye. She's remained in Europe and overseen his training in Newmarket. So she's delighted with his condition, the way he looks. He's had, a little bit of time between runs since the Derby, but he seems nice and forward going into his next run. And, hopefully we can see him, capitalise on the form that three-year-olds are showing.
Gay's standing there at the gallops at Newmarket watching Hu Yamar. That's great. It's a nice image of Gay, sort of nestling in with all the great trainers in Newmarket to train one for the Melbourne Cup.
Yep. Adrian Bott was also quoted on Alligator Blood, who is in Victoria at the moment, Matty, in the hope that he can actually race in Victoria. Obviously, we know that there's still some uncertainty around that. He can't race in New South Wales at the moment due to some issues regarding the owner. This is what Adrian Bott had to say regarding Alligator Blood, and then I'll give you some context around the likelihood of him actually appearing at the races here.
It's good to get him out here on a nice track again and give him a nice sort of first series hit out for his preparation. We'll look to trial him end of this week and then that'll sort of really assess where we kick him off. But a couple of nice targets for him, hopefully, as I said, early in the spring. Yeah, we could look at the PB Lawrence there. That would certainly give him the one trial into that. As I said, he's still pretty fit off Queensland. If we feel we just need that little bit extra time, we'll look to go first up into the Memsey.
Well, that's been forced upon them by the New South Wales ruling against Alan Andres.
That's right. And at this stage, there's still no more clarity around whether or not he's actually going to be able to run in Victoria because that, conversation, investigation, whatever you want to call it, it's still ongoing. I spoke to Jamie Steer this morning and there's no update on that front. So it's not as though he's got the all clear just yet to race in Victoria, Matty. And you would kind of like a decision to be made on that relatively soon because you'd like to know whether or not he's going to be racing in those early spring features.
If you don't particularly like the owner, do you still cheer the horse?
I don't necessarily think too much about it. When I'm watching the horses, I don't really think too much about the ownership group unless I know them personally.
Fair enough. Well, it's such an interesting story with Alligator, but I think if you were able to compile a list of the top five or six amazing comebacks of the year, I think Alligator Blood
right
Stradbroke has to be the number one win.
I thought that win in the Stradbroke was as good. I thought that was Cox Plate almost worthy. That was a horse that was saying to everyone, "I'm as good as any other horse in the country."
I reckon, and this will be a big statement, and someone will shoot me down, but I don't know if Gay Waterhouse has ever had a greater training accomplishment in her career than resurrecting Alligator Blood. I know she's won a million races and Fiorente Melbourne Cup and all these golden slippers and so on and Doncasters and Epsoms and everything. But as far as taking a horse who is in State A and then taking him to winning a strap, no one in the world thought that that was a realistic thing that she could do with Alligator Blood. No one.
And one like a genuine A-grader as well.
Yep. All righty. We might round off with a little bit of nice reflective audio from Jamie Carr. Yesterday at the trials, Ed Sadler from racing.com managed to have a chat to Jamie Carr, and she was nicely expansive about the season that's been and the look ahead.
Jamie, looking back at the season that's been, as we get to the end of it, how do you reflect upon it?
Yeah, it's been obviously a bit of an interrupted year for me, but sort of pretty proud of myself to get back on the premiership board and rack up those winners again. It's having 4 months off, it's a big chunk out of the year. So look, the autumn's been really kind to me, and obviously Zaki was pretty special, and there's a few highlights in there. But it's good just to get back into the swing of things, and hopefully looking forward to a big spring ahead.
I was going to say, so Zaki's All-Star Mile, going back to Adelaide and winning the Cup on Darshan Sweet Junior, they look the obvious highlights. Are they the clear two in your eyes?
Yeah, that was a pretty special week. It was sort of one after the other, and to win the Cup back home, that was something I've always wanted to do. And just getting the support off the trainers again, and was a runner-up in a few of the big ones, so hopefully we can turn that around.
Was that hard work to get the support back, or did you just pick up where you left off?
Look, they were very supportive. There's some fantastic people in the industry, as we know, and I've been pretty lucky to get back in with some really big trainers and good owners, and like I said, looking forward to the future.
So, as you say, with the future, new season starts next week. Are you hoping to chase another title like last year? Are you focusing on the carnivals around the country? What's your aim?
Yeah, probably short term, just looking forward to the spring. Obviously, at the moment, all the good horses are coming back and we've been pretty busy with jump outs and the Kieran Maher stables. Got a lot of nice horses there and been riding a bit for Peter Moody and, yeah, there's some pretty nice horses stepping up.
Is there one in particular or a couple you can push us into that we should be looking forward to seeing?
Look, I haven't had that big chat yet with Lockie, my manager, about, you know, what we're aiming for in the bigger races, but I sat on some really nice horses at Pakenham yesterday and caught Cranbourne on Monday, so there's plenty of good stock coming back.
Didn't ride a winner yesterday at Sandown, but she has been in good form since she returned, Maddie. And yeah, like you said, no doubt she's going to be very prominent in the Jockeys Premiership markets for next season.
And I reckon everyone who says, oh God, all the good horses are broken down or retired and what's it going to look like? When it all happens is what she was just talking about. Ma Eustace has got a lot of nice horses trialling and jumping out, and all they have to do is win their first two starts and all of a sudden they're the next big thing. So what's actually happening now at the trials and jump outs is going to set the template for the spring.
Yep.
To me, it doesn't really matter who won what and who won the Golden Slipper and all that. They usually get wiped off the floor. It's all about the timing of these nicely bred horses coming through. One of them will win a Group 3 at Moonee Valley in August, and then suddenly it's a favourite for the Caulfield Guineas. That's how it happens. So we'll take note of all those track work developments.
Absolutely, mate.
9:24. Thanks, Maddie. We're going to take a break. Come back with Dylan Dunn, who has an interesting new career path.